Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, episode 110 of Tatooine Sons. A year ago at Star Wars Celebration Chicago, a new initiative was teased by Kevin Scott called Project Luminous. This past February, it was finally revealed that this project would be a massive unified story about the Jedi Order at its best. This week, we're honored to be joined by Dan Z of Coffee with Kenobi to discuss all the latest news about the High Republic and the Jedi who will be featured in the series. Plus, hot take, poll results, and more.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I'm BB-8, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel. Shoot to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then just think of High Republic as Game of Thrones in Star Wars.
Which we've never seen a 30-second clip of
Game of Thrones. I don't even remember seeing, like, a trailer.
We've never had HBO, and we would never watch Game of Thrones.
Speaking of HBO.
But this sounds like fun.
Yeah. And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi.
Guys. How's it going, gentlemen?
It's going.
It's going.
We've got big news.
Yes.
A little bit.
A lot of big news. Not as big as the news that I hope to be able to reveal on next week's episode. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Hold on.
This is where the fun begins.
Yeah, but we do have amazing big news. We've already, you know, put it out on Facebook. We put it out on Twitter. But here we go. We're moving to Florida.
This is madness.
Yay.
Yeah.
World.
We're excited. Yeah, we're going to be 25, 30 minutes from Galaxy's Edge, from Batu. Mm-hmm. On that. Sam, why don't you explain to all of our listeners exactly why we're moving down there and just the full update on that.
So I got accepted to University of Central Florida, mm-hmm. Down in Orlando.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
And it made sense if I chose that school for all of us to move down because we've got family down there. Obviously, we'll be 30 minutes from Disney. And, you know, it'll be warmer.
Not to mention, mom has always wanted to move to Florida. We've always wanted to be in Orlando where we're close to Disney World. I can work anywhere in the world, so let's do it.
So do you think, like, one night we might be sitting there and we're like, I don't know what I want for dinner. Let's go to Oga's Cantina.
Yes, absolutely. It will happen.
That would be great. Let's go to Star Wars for dinner.
BB-8, why don't you give us your update on quarantine life, since everybody's addressing that right now, what they're dealing with.
It's not much.
What have you guys been doing for fun recently? Anything?
Our normal. I mean, I'm running out of books, so that's kind of...
You've read all of your comic books. Yeah, you've got, like, thousands of pages worth of comic books.
I know. I'm, like, wondering what to do.
Yeah, and they're gone.
Yeah.
So, we need comic books.
Yes.
It's time to go. Time to find a comic book store that'll actually open.
Well, Mylai Comics is shipping them. I'm like...
Are they? There we go. That's cool. And then we've got something. I know we've been kind of teasing that there's something big coming.
And we're going to keep teasing it until we can.
The move to Florida is a big deal. Yes. But there's something that's like, on the scale of move to Florida, that's like a hangnail compared to how significant this is. It's not a big deal.
Pretty big deal.
They can be. I've had an infection so bad I had to get my finger sliced open. I guess that's not scalpels. A good example.
No, but
the reality is something big is coming. We hope that all of the details get finalized in the next week before we release the next episode and we get to tell you all about it. The goal is that will launch on May the 4th. Hopefully we'll have everything in place by then.
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited about that. No reviews this week. No. That's your fault, not mine. No.
Can't just go harsh. In there and make a new account and write yourself some nice.
I mean, I could probably sign up for like five different apps.
It's like the song.
Like the time we went to Best Buy and we subscribed on all of the iPhones and iPads to our show.
Five-star ratings.
And five-star ratings and reviews. Yeah. We could do that if Best Buy was open. But since we can't do that, let's go ahead and just jump right into last week's, podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What? No!
All right, last week's podcast poll of the week was all about Rosario Dawson. We talked about how she is likely, it looks like all signs seem to be pointing to her playing Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian. So we wanted to know from you, how do you feel about her doing that? We asked you guys to keep your comments light side. You did. Thank you very much. Had 152 votes on that. We had love it, hate it, meh, or other. You guys were both meh, more like want to see what it looks like in live action before make a decision.
But we're like... Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. 68% runaway winner. 68.4% said love it. 21.7% agree with you guys and said meh. We had 5.3% that hate it. That's a lot lower than I thought it was going to
be. Yeah, me too. I thought hate it was going to be a pretty runaway.
I mean, because Ashley is such a loved actress and part of Star Wars fandom. And then 4.6% of you said other, comment below. Let's hear what you guys had to say about it.
Yeah, so this one's from Unmistakably Star Wars.
I love those guys.
Stop.
I love their podcast. I love what they're about. I love everybody on the show. I just wanted to get that out.
Okay.
I think they're amazing.
Right. Free shout outs.
Yeah.
And their handle is at UnmistakablySW.
Right.
They said definitely a Rosario Dawson fan. Just curious as to the decision-making process when it came to selecting her over Ashley Eckstein. We'll never get an accurate accounting, but I'd still have... love to know.
Yeah, we'll never know what the situation was with that, especially when you hear Ashley's comments on it that we read last on the last episode, where she was obviously not happy. Mm-hmm. She was trying to be. She's a great fan. I mean, she's going to continue to stay light side on everything, but she wasn't thrilled about it.
Yeah, and then we have Charles the Fourth at. Oh, dang.
Hitchens 4. Roman numeral 4.
Yeah, okay.
Hitchens 4. I think it might be like Hitchens. But it sounds like Hitchens.
Okay. The casting is great, but you can't judge anything until you see it. Ashley is an incredible actress and amazing human. Would have been great live. I mean, we have, what,
I think it means three or four different people.
Ah, okay. Three or four different people who have played Obi-Wan at this point. Wait for the finished product and judge.
That's a really well thought through answer because we've had, of course, Alec Guinness, and we've had Ewan McGregor, and then we've had James Arnold Taylor that played him in the Clone Wars, and we had... who's the other one?
Okay.
Oh, come on.
May the Force be with you, always.
Stephen Stanton!
I knew it. I was just
played him in the
Twin Sons. What's funny, though, is he played that, and I immediately thought that was just Alec Guinness.
Because he's so good at it.
Right. Yeah.
And then the last one was Alexander Moylan from Alexander Moylan. That was easy. Thank you.
There we go.
Yep, that was good. I'm fearful of the execution and less concerned with the casting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good... I think that's almost where you guys are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, I am simultaneously hopeful that season 2 will blow our expectations away, just like season 1, and that Ahsoka's presence can be minimal and perhaps even without crossing paths with the Mando. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they could be like born in parallel stories where they don't actually cross paths?
I guess, don't but put I feel it like, in there, what's the point, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you have to.
I mean,
have
if you got Ahsoka and you got a Force sensitive Baby Yoda, I mean,
ooh, that's a good point.
That'd be pretty cool, especially because she knew Yoda.
Are we going to get Ahsoka?
Have you thought about that? Yoda? Oh, yeah. That would be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Training him not to be
Mando's
a Jedi.
Teaching him the ways of Mandalore, and Ahsoka's teaching him the ways of the Force.
That's it. All right. Okay. Well, that's exciting. Well, let's get into the real stuff that we're going to talk about.
The big boys.
I mean, we wanted to hear about your stuff, your thoughts, too, but let's talk about some other stuff.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Well, it's actually my lawn that needs help.
No problem. Try this grass seed.
Okay, sounds good.
And some fertilizer. And of course, a soil enhancer. Try these to start.
To start?
Lawn care doesn't have to be complicated. With everything you need for a lush, healthy lawn all in one bag, Pennington Lawn Booster gives you quicker, thicker, greener grass guaranteed. Pick up a bag of Lawn Booster today at the Home Depot.
So a new animated short of the original Episode 9 script has been created. Did you guys see that?
I saw it, but I haven't watched
it. Okay, like paid attention to it?
Right.
We have a bad feeling about this. I did watch it.
Me either.
Yeah. Our crazy Episode 9 theory from a year ago. Remember that one? Mm-hmm.
No.
The crazy, the craziest.
One? The pork
no,
Jedi?
No. The craziest, like the legitimate Episode 9 theory
together.
That we did a year ago.
I don't remember that
Like
one.
Everything comes
It was
together.
In a whole episode called that.
I don't remember.
Oh, we'll talk about it in a second. It actually came true.
What?
And Luke Skywalker bids farewell to Star Wars fans. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All righty. Star Wars fan animates Colin Trevorrow's original Episode 9 script. Have you guys, like, followed anything about that Episode 9 script?
Not really.
I meant to send you this video, but I didn't know how to do it and say, please watch it before the show, without tipping off the fact that this is one of the hot takes. Mm. So,
yeah, it's come across my recommendations a few times. Yeah. I've just never watched it.
Well, there's a great article on hyperbeast.com about it. We'll link to it in the show notes. It says on there, before J.J. Abrams... I'm going to read it directly from there here. Before J.J. Abrams came on board for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, the film featured an entirely different script. Director Colin Trevorrow... directed Safety Not Guaranteed, never even heard of it. And Jurassic World heard of that one.
Yeah,
saw that one. Yeah, it was good. Had originally penned a finished version titled Duel of the Fates before being taken off the project prior to The Last Jedi's release, with the script later surfacing online following Episode 9's theatrical run. One fan, YouTube creator Ethan Taylor of Mr. Sunday Movies, has decided to animate a short film to give other fans a glimpse of what Duel of the Fates would have looked at like. All right, so since you guys neither have seen this,
no.
Have you guys read any of the script leaks from Duel of the Fates?
I probably have, but I don't remember them.
No, I haven't.
This is a lame hot take.
Though. Well, I mean,
well,
I
it's
just
a hot take. Yeah. What do you expect?
I just don't want to look at it.
Why
I mean,
not?
We have a finished product.
Yeah.
Why dwell on the past?
So it's pretty interesting. A lot of the theories that we came up with in the time between The Last Jedi and the release of The Rise of Skywalker as to Force Ghost Luke haunting Kylo Ren, double-bladed blue lightsaber, lots of Coruscant. There's a lot in this script that I liked a whole lot.
Okay, so I did see, I think it was debunked, I think Nathan said it was fake,
yeah,
but I saw
sure.
some like, concept art from it.
Oh, the concept art is accurate. They
that
put that
accurate.
On at the end
okay.
of that video, and it's beautiful.
When I looked at that, I'm going to be real honest. I was.
They go back. They go back to Coruscant underneath the Jedi Temple and turn the beacon back on.
Yeah.
To as a call out to the galaxy.
If
and
I'm being real,
there's
honest,
a lot of stuff in there I really liked.
I was pretty disappointed that they didn't do some of that stuff because it was really cool.
Why do you think that they cut Colin Trevorrow's story and cut him from this? Was it the Book of Henry?
No, I don't think it was the Book of Henry. I've heard a lot of people that said that the Book of Henry was good. But I think that, judging by all of the concept art, I've seen the concept art, it looked a little too dark for the end of the Skywalker saga. I think they didn't want it to be like that, because they've been really trying to keep everything light in throughout all of Disney right now.
I will say this, that the first three quarters of the story, from what I saw, I loved the ending, not so much.
I didn't remember the ending, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not so much, which is exactly the opposite of the next thing that I want to talk about.
Mm.
I just finished the Rise of Skywalker novelization.
How was it?
Well, let's just talk about this. It includes a moment that we have been hoping for over a year. This is, if you want to pick up the book, I highly recommend it. Here's what I was talking about, The Duel of the Fates. The book was a little bit lame. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't lame. It was just, it just didn't move. It didn't move. And there were some good storylines added to it up until about three quarters of the way through. Mm-hmm. And then I had to finish it last night once I got to that point. I got to about the 75% mark and I couldn't stop reading. And it was absolutely flipping amazing for the way that it culminated and it ended in the novelization. So I highly recommend you pick it up.
Is the novelization canon?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, it was cool. Fantastic.
We should probably spoiler alert this, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good idea. So it's not a huge spoiler. It's been talked about. It's not like a big revelation, but it was for me. So let's set this up. In the lead up to episode 9, we developed a theory that all of the new canon content that had been released since Disney purchased Lucasfilm in 2012 would come together in one big moment in The Rise of Skywalker. And then when we saw that massive Resistance fleet in the final trailer of the film.
Avengers Assemble.
Exactly. Resistance Assemble or Rebellion Assemble, right? We were certain that we had nailed it. But then, hold on.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
When T-Ross was released, we were less than thrilled at how that scene played out. It was a little anticlimactic when all those ships showed up. It was great to see, but it wasn't what we were hoping for.
I mean, they could have done something with that.
I was just thinking about it. It's kind of on topic. I was just thinking about The Rise of Skywalker.
So. Okay.
So it's still on topic. And, like, the whole Avengers Assemble kind of thing with that. And they really took a lot from Endgame.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, let's stay on focus. Let's stay on target here. Stay on target, okay? We should probably get that clip in there. That would be good for our show. But now the novelization revealed something very interesting. I'm going to read this paragraph. Just listen. Just embrace this moment.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
This is from the novelization, direct quote. A familiar voice broke through on comms. But there are more of us, Poe. There are more of us. It was Lando. He was back. But had he brought anyone with him? Poe's heart leapt in his chest as he flipped his fighter around, swooped over the hull of a destroyer to get a visual of the atmosphere above. He gasped. Ships were popping into sight all over the place. Freighters, fighters, medical frigates, long haulers from every sector of the galaxy, from every era Poe had ever heard of. Hundreds, no, thousands. A fleet of fleets. Look at this, Poe hollered. Look at this, as Lando laughed and laughed. The allies, Aftab Ackbar said. They're here. The whole galaxy's here, Poe exclaimed. Lando, you did it, Finn yelled. You did it. The comms erupted as ship after ship began calling in. Thousands of resolved voices crying out, refusing to be silenced. Millennium Falcon, standing by for orders, said Lando. Mon Calamari fleet, standing by, came another voice. Phantom Squadron, standing by. That's from the Aftermath trilogy.
Oh, wow.
Wedge's squadron he created. Uh-huh. Ghost, standing by. Andonine 2. That's just another ship that they threw in there. Okay. Standing by. Poe was not the crying type, but as everyone called in, one after another, liquid pooled in his eyes. They had done it. The spark of the resistance had become a fire. Alphabet 2, standing by, from Alphabet Squadron. Mm-hmm. Zay Versio with Inferno Squad had standing by. Look at all these ships. Fireball here. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Cut the chatter, Kaz. A deep voice responded. Yeager. Okay, okay, Poe interrupted. Because they had no time for 100,000 ships to call in, just go shoot stuff. I mean, hit those underbelly cannons with all you've got. Every one of you we knock out is a everyone we knock out is a world save. What do you think, guys?
Why'd you have to say that? Because now I'm more disappointed that that wasn't in the
movie. I know.
Why couldn't they put that in the freaking movie?
That would have been like it wouldn't have taken like an extra 45 seconds to do this.
All that done,
and it would have been exactly what we predicted would happen.
And they don't even necessarily have to show Fireball. Or Yeager.
That would have been cool, though. Could you imagine them going from cockpit to cockpit to have a Hera Syndulla and a Jacen Syndulla in the Ghost? Zay Versio sitting next to Shriv. Kaz in the Fireball. Live action.
I would have been satiated with them just calling in like that.
Oh, I was so... I was sitting there last night. I was reading this. I got to this section, and I was like, my eyes got as wide as saucers when it started going through the roll call there, and then my cheeks started going, like, from ear to ear, like the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland, and I just laid there for a minute and thought, we did nail it. It was the plan. I think they wanted to do it, but for whatever reason, they didn't pull it off.
Disappointing.
Ugh.
Disappointing.
All right.
Wasted opportunity.
Last thing.
Missed opportunity.
Speaking of missed opportunities, Mark Hamill pens a sweet end of an era letter for Star Wars fans. He put this out on Twitter, but this was actually included in the Skywalker Saga box set, the all 9 4K version that we have to get.
You can just get the Blu-ray version.
Yeah.
No, we're going to get the whole saga set if this thing
it's
that
cheaper.
We
are to. And then get it signed by the artist, kind of like
our. Yeah, anyway. All right. So Mark Hamill has navigated Star Wars fandom better than anyone else, in spite of his tendency to say exactly what he's thinking at any particular moment. Remember the missed opportunities thing. That's what I had on there. But last week, Hamill actually shared a letter to Star Wars fans on Twitter celebrating the legacy of the Skywalker Saga and providing a light side word of hope for the future. Oh. Again, the letter is included in the Skywalker Saga box set. And before we move on to our special guest, who's coming in right now, we will prepare by talking about or reading this letter. What an extraordinary journey it's been. Back in 1976, when Carrie Harrison and I were testing for our roles in what was then called The Adventures of Luke Starkiller as taken from the Journal of the Will, Saga 1, The Star Wars.
Jeez, that's a mouthful. That would be pretty cool, though.
There's no way we could have known what an incredibly rich and imaginative set of adventures this obscure little space movie would launch, inspiring 8 more chapters to tell the entire Skywalker story. For some of you, the journey began with us over 40 years ago, inviting Star Wars into your lives from the seats of just a few dozen theaters in its first days of release. For others, you may have joined us somewhere along the way, from the harrowing young saga of a young Anakin's descent to the dark side in the prequel trilogy, or the introduction of an entirely new generation of heroes in the sequel trilogy. As Carrie once said, Star Wars is about family. And that is what we've all become. One giant community that shares the common experience of these stories and the fundamental values that they instill in us. Whether you're a relative newcomer to the Star Wars galaxy or a longtime UPF, ultra passionate fan, I am deeply thankful for your continued enthusiasm and dedication to George's faraway galaxy, which will continue to grow with new storytellers building an even bigger galaxy filled with heroes, villains, action, romance, and of course, the Force. May the Force be with you always. Mark Hamill.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Well, it's actually my lawn that needs help.
No problem. Try this grass seed.
Okay, sounds good.
And some fertilizer. And of course, a soil enhancer. Try these to start.
To start?
Lawn care doesn't have to be complicated. With everything you need for a lush, healthy lawn all in one bag, Pennington Lawn Booster gives you quicker, thicker, greener grass guaranteed. Pick up a bag of Lawn Booster today at the Home Depot.
When we started diving headfirst into Star Wars fandom just a few years ago, one podcast quickly became a favorite for us, Coffee with Kenobi. And that show has always helped us look into the deeper mythology of a galaxy far, far away, or what we like to call the greater story. And this week, it is our distinct pleasure to welcome Dan Z to Tatooine Sons as we discuss the golden age of the Jedi Order, the High Republic.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so Dan Zier is the host and co-creator of Coffee with Kenobi, a podcast that breaks down the mythology of Star Wars from a place of intelligence and humor. And this is the way that it's described on StarWars.com. So, of course, this is, you know, this is canon here. And it's also one of our favorite shows, so we're excited. Dan Z is also a prolific high school educator who teaches literature and writing and has a master's degree in teaching and learning. Wow. He resides in central Illinois with his wife and 3 boys. Welcome, Dan, to Tatooine Sons.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. It is an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be here with all of you.
Definitely excited to talk High Republic with you. You know, the High Republic is this period that we haven't seen addressed. That's one of the exciting things about sort of the future of Star Wars. We've spent the last 42 years dealing with a 70 to 80 year period of time in the Star Wars mythology, from the prequels all the way through to the end of the sequels. And now we get to move into some other things. Dan, what do you, from, you know, all of your conversations about High Republic, what do you kind of understand and know about the High Republic?
Well, it's pretty small, of course, as with all of us. We know, of course, the time frame, 200 years before the Phantom Menace. We know this is the golden age of the Jedi, which always kind of scratches my head because I was always under the impression that that was what Episode One was about. Mm-hmm. That maybe there's less internal conflict and strife, which we will certainly see. But quite honestly, among all the things that sound cool, I'm most excited about all the new lightsaber hilts.
I mentioned that a little bit ago during our little hot take segment. I'm like, oh no, I mean, it's just, it's really cool. There's this one person on one of the photos that was released during the panel. There's this lady that's holding kind of what Rey has, well, Dark Rey, from what we see.
Kind of a two-bladed.
It doesn't look like it folds into a double blade. It just looks like it stays in its fork position. Yeah. I don't know.
It's pretty cool.
Weird. Lightsaber fork.
Yeah,
no, I'm super pumped. I'm just excited to see more about, like, the before the galaxy has been conquered and stuff. But, of course, the High Republic stories came out of, like, a top-secret collaboration of Star Wars authors called Project Luminous, which we got to be at the panel for that.
Yeah, that was awesome. A celebration. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Z, what do you think about a series of stories that are coordinated so intricately?
I love it. I know there's a pretty popular article going around on IO9 right now about canon and how sometimes canon gets in the way of enjoying storytelling. Mm-hmm. So which I think is an interesting conversation all in and of itself. But what I like about this is you've got some of the greatest creative minds currently working in the world of Star Wars. Obviously, we all saw that great video where they were communing at Skywalker Ranch to break everything down. But I think it's exciting and enriching that there's so many creative masterminds going together to create this puzzle. And we're slowly going to get to put these pieces together each month as a new book or a new author comes out. And the fact that it is inspired, and I should have said this at the get-go, the fact that it's somewhat inspired by Arthurian legend in lore is completely exciting for me, especially as a teacher of mythology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's kind of go down that little side trail for just a second, because mythology is such a big part of, you know, your Star Wars fandom and the experience, and it's ours too. Yeah. Kind of why do you think that Star Wars has become this sort of modern mythology for fans?
Yeah, that's a great question. To me, mythology, of course, is just storytelling and sort of the story behind storytelling. Hmm. So, of course, when Lucas created this, America didn't really have a great mythology like that was just for us. You know, it didn't come from somewhere else. And that was sort of one of the impetuses behind his creation. But at its core, mythology teaches us about culture. And what we value is people and, you know, how to treat elders, how to treat your fellow man. What do we think about redemption and forgiveness? Where is violence in the culture? Mm-hmm. And how do we approach diversity and difference in opinion, in biology, and all kinds of things? And the great thing about Star Wars, as with all good mythologies, is that it allows you to break down those barriers and talk about what really is going on behind the scenes. Because, of course, I like what the story is, but it's more interesting to me to see how and why a story is told. And a good mythology allows you to have those kind of conversations. You know, I've said this many times, but Mark Twain said he likes fiction better because fiction is obliged to tell the truth. So it can come to the truth in really tough, difficult things through a fictional lens to kind of break down those barriers and get people really discussing and talking.
That's awesome.
So in your opinion, then, George Lucas is written modern American mythology, and we're kind of a part of that and experiencing that as it's coming about. Like, this could be something almost in the history books in the future, kind of like how we talk about Greek mythology and stuff?
Oh, unequivocally so. I have no doubt in my mind whether he realized. I don't think anyone could have realized the scope in magnitude and gravitas of what Star Wars is to so many of us. Mm-hmm. But yes, for me, it very much, it invokes that thing. Last night, I watched Return of the Jedi. Of course, I've seen it a million times with my son and my wife, who had never seen Return of the Jedi.
Wow. How's that possible?
I know. It was tense there for a while. Just kidding. I'm pretty sure that she wanted to watch it because my son, who was six, said, "Mommy, I want you to watch Return of the Jedi." So boom, hey, whatever it takes, right? He's doing God's work.
That's right.
And so when it was going on, she started asking these questions and talking about the characters and how they interact with each other and what that meant. And it was just exciting to me, and it reinforced for me what I believed, as I've been saying, is that Star Wars is our mythology. It's the great story, surrounds us, penetrates us, binds the galaxy, and what we believe as individuals together.
Yeah. I mean, the Skywalker saga has shown us the decline of the Jedi so many times, but the High Republic promises to show us the Order in its prime. What do you hope to learn from this new perspective?
That's an excellent question as well. See, to me, the Skywalker saga shows us more about, and especially in The Last Jedi, it shows us that it's okay to be human. Real heroes are human, and they make a ton of mistakes. So when you see the fact that there's this great event that's going to happen, that's going to kind of kickstart, kind of be the inciting incident for the High Republic, and you read the descriptions of all these Jedi Knights, some new, some more experienced. When I started looking at these descriptions, what I first thought was, okay, well, where's the conflict? If they're already perfect or they're already at a certain level, that's not interesting. So what is it that you make people that apparently are almost godlike to a degree? What kind of flaws and misgivings and things do they have to learn to get to where they need to go to both understand what it is to be a part of the living force, but just also to be an individual functioning in a greater whole, in a greater circle? So I'm more interested in sort of what those flaws might be and what they have to learn and grow to be.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And speaking of these Jedi, this week we learned a little backstory on five of these Jedi. But which one intrigues you the most?
Well, I think it's the one that I hope to be when I grow up, which would be Stellan Geos, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to know how to pronounce these names so far.
Yeah. I mean, look at that hair, man, right? But the lightsaber is outstanding because it has that Arthurian. Oh, it's got the crossbar on it. Yeah. Blue is my favorite color anyway. And I just think he sounds interesting because he's optimistic and well-respected. He's a natural teacher, which, of course, is going to resonate with me. And the fact that when he works with certain people, says the two are together. They are a powerhouse team of two noble heroes in action. I like the nobility. Like, I'm more of a Luke than a Han guy. I'm more of a Captain America than a Wolverine guy. I like the squeaky clean noble heroes because I think that, I don't know, that's just the hero that has always aspired to me. And he looks like someone that could go off the rails, but he's not. He is steadfast and loyal and true. He's like a paladin in Dungeons and Dragons, and I really like that.
That's awesome.
So I've just got like a side question here. So you're obviously familiar with Arthurian legend and things like that. Do you see any of the hero archetypes in any of these Jedi?
It's difficult to see the future is. But I mean, basically, we just have a very brief description. Mm-hmm. I see people who have potential hubris. I see people who are. When I look at Avar Chris, I mean, she reminds me of Lancelot to a degree because Lancelot, well, actually, Galahad was the perfect knight. But a lot of people thought Lancelot was the perfect knight until he had his affair with Guinevere. Mm-hmm. Now, Avar Chris does not appear to have those Zeus-like or loyalties to who they're with, their fidelity. But I like the idea that they seem, they seem on high. They seem, so not necessarily Arthurian besides the swords, but more like, almost like Greek gods and goddesses, because they appear to be perfect in form to some degree. I mean, their coloring, the robes, very much like a Mount Olympus type, and also a bit of that stern, resolute goodness, inherent goodness as well.
Yeah, it's what's going to be fun to watch in or read. I watch. Read. I'm so used to the TV series and the movies. I keep saying watch. But the experience is whatever it is that's going to this great evil, this great darkness that they've teased a couple of times, that's going to come in, that's going to shake these sort of perfect characters that are like you said, almost godlike in nature. That's going to be the really interesting part of the story, and what is so bad, so evil, so scary out there that's going to shake these people that have probably never really been shaken. So I guess the last part of this that I was just talking about, going to TV series and stuff, do you ever think that they're going to actually cross the line? They've said at this point that that's not the plan, but do you think that we'll ever see these characters in like live action or in a movie or a TV series?
Well, that would be awesome. I mean, but look how long it's taken for Ahsoka to get to that's live true. Action, and we haven't even seen that yet. I think that I'm very much. I mean, I was invited to go to the press event where they announced this, but I was doing my day job.
Right. Yeah.
But what, from what I understand, yes, which is very important. So what I health insurance is really important.
Yeah, that's right now.
But what I learned was that this is very much just publishing. Now, that being said, in my personal opinion, I have no inside knowledge about this, but in my opinion, if it's very successful, I mean, you've got Disney Plus, you've got, you know, comic, yeah, I guess we already are having comics, but you've got a lot of avenues to kind of go with something like this. So I think anything is possible.
That'd be a lot of fun. All right. So we do this when we have guests on. We call it the Force Lightning Round. 10 questions that might get a little bit more in depth towards the end. We'll see how it goes. But we're going to go through awesome. These as quick as possible. Are you ready for the Force Lightning Round?
I was born ready, brother.
All right. All right. Nathan's got the first one. Go.
So what's your first Star Wars memory?
My first Star Wars memory is trying to get to see the movie, and it's sort of I hope it's not a cheat, but it's sort of like ties with me getting C-3PO and getting that action figure before I actually saw the movie.
Oh, wow.
And that was sort of my, I knew there was a thing, I knew it was Star Wars, I knew it was really popular, but that's all I knew. We kept trying to go to see it over and over and over again, and then the fifth or sixth try, we went to a drive-in theater in New Orleans, Louisiana, and my dad rolled down the window and said, four for Star Wars. And we looked at each other and I said, what is this? And he said, we're going to see Star Wars. Now we're seeing a drive-in. And it was the first time I saw it.
That's
and cool. I will never forget that. And obviously it's, you could say pretty accurately that's affected my life.
Yeah. I think it's probably had a little bit of an impact on you.
Yes.
So then what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
It's The Empire Strikes Back. Although, and I don't know that I'll ever say a different movie than The Empire Strikes Back, but honestly, A New Hope and The Last Jedi are sort of 1A and 1B.
Yeah, I think that you and I are on the same page with that. Okay. yes. How about, what's your favorite non-Star Wars movie? This is always a fun one for us.
Oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Easy.
Nice.
That's my favorite movie, period. More than
that's
Star
true.
Wars
that's true.
Wow.
I mean, it's Raiders. It's Indiana Jones. It's
2022. We get both a Star Wars movie and an indie movie in the same
I
year.
Hope so.
I know. So. Exactly. So.
So, who's your favorite Star Wars character?
It's Vader.
Ah.
I think he's the most compelling. I think he's the most Shakespearean, especially with the Anakin angle. And, you know, you can't really beat that beautiful design of that helmet and the breathing. And, you know, he's just he's probably one of the most recognizable characters in the history of cinema.
That's awesome.
All right. So other than Jar Jar, I mean, you might like Jar Jar. That's fine.
I do.
You know, okay, good. But we have to say that, you know, I have to preface this question with that. But other than Jar Jar, who's your least favorite character?
Interesting. It's always so tempting for me just to throw it back to you guys. Or Sing is my least favorite. Yeah.
Really? Well, I mean, she's barely in the live action, and then she's not exactly the... Yeah, I can see that.
She's not very nice in the Clone Wars, no. and sadistically, which I'm not a sadistic person. When it was revealed that Beckett killed Aurra Sing, I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
I always annoyed me that she was so tough and powerful, but she just seemed like a bully. So I found her annoying.
All right. So speaking of that, which is better, the Clone Wars or Star Wars Rebels?
Well, that's like saying what's better, you know. A cheeseburger or pizza? Is that really?
They're both great.
What are you
doing
to me? No, it's Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels. Smart man.
I love Clone Wars. I love Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. I have wonderful relationships with both casts, but Rebels was always very special to me. That's kind of, we sort of grew into our own as that show did, and mm-hmm. I formed a bond with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Vanessa, and they were just really special to me. And then just kind of living through that series was so great. And then I got to show them to my son, and he just mm-hmm. was riveted by it too. Kanan Jarrus has become one of my favorite characters in all of fiction, period. Wow. And I actually think he, Ahsoka and Luke are maybe perfect Jedis. Not perfect because they're flawed, but because of how they learn and how they adhere to the Jedi code more than even Yoda sometimes.
That's awesome. That's ours too, because that's how Sam and Nate both kind of came into Star Wars fandom. Star Wars was always, the original trilogy and the prequels were always sort of dad's thing that he was into. They'd watch it uh-huh. with us. And then they got into Rebels, and the next thing you know, they became super fans. So it's definitely a part of that for us.
That's
so.
Good parenting is what that is.
Absolutely.
Yes. So if you can, finish the sentence. If I could change one thing about Star Wars, I would...
what a great question. Well, I'm not going to change anything in the movies, although I would certainly do a lot of slicing and dicing in The Rise of Skywalker. I think I would change the perception that Star Wars fandom is toxic.
That's what I would
approach, because I feel like in my experiences in what I see and what I interact with, I feel like there's a lot of great passionate people mm-hmm. who really, really care. And of course, there are a very small but very loud minority of fans who are very negative and kind of go into that troll territory, which I'm not interested in. So that's one thing that I would certainly sort of disavow.
Definitely. Cool.
But if you wanted me to do it from a movie perspective, I would change the fact that Rey is a Palpatine.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. What did you think about Rey Carson's take on that when she did that
interview on
StarWars.com? Okay.
I did that interview, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I've got so many different stories running through my head all the time. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, she was super cool to me. And actually, I was really happy that they let me run with some of those questions that I did. Because I wanted to see it. But I actually thought she fleshed it out. And that's the thing I've always said about The Rise of Skywalker. I like it. But it's the only Star Wars movie of all of them that I didn't like necessarily how it was told.
Hmm.
That doesn't mean I'm going to stand on a pedestal and scream and yell and rip right. out my hair follicles, but it is something that I wasn't as at peace with.
That's interesting.
But Rey Carson made it work.
It was a great book. I just finished it last night. It was awesome.
I've never had someone actually quote an interview that I did before.
There we go. That's pretty cool. And then sort of the don't get cocky moment.
Great kid.
I had totally
don't get cocky.
You did the interview when I quoted it. So no offense.
No, hey, it's okay. It's about Rey Carson. That's what it's for.
That's true. I guess as an interviewer, if you're remembering the person being interviewed, that's a good sign. So
that's right.
Yeah. All right. So say you're stranded on a desert island. You can only have three things. What do you take?
Do they have to be Star Wars related?
No, you can be whatever you want.
Okay. Three things on a deserted island. Well, a cell phone with incredible range.
That's what Sam thinks right there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to. I'm tempted to say my wife. She's not a thing, but I think I'd be a lot more at peace with her there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I think some safe shade.
Yeah.
I don't have any sunscreen, fellas. You don't let me bring three things. So
that's it.
Practical. Yeah.
So one of the themes that is present throughout all of Star Wars from the very first opening moments of A New Hope is the theme of hope. So how does Star Wars inspire hope for you?
Oh, boy. How much time you have?
As
how much
long
bandwidth
as you want
do you have? Okay. Star Wars, and I was just talking about this last night, but Star Wars for me is about, it's about hope. It's about belief in things that you can't see. It's about belief in a better tomorrow when all it looks like is bleak and scary. And we can certainly relate to that, you know, with the state of the world these days. For some people, I'm not scared. I feel like it's taught us to take care of ourselves. Mm. It's taught us to take care of our families. It's taught us to think of other people besides ourselves. And do you value what's really important? And I think that's what Star Wars does better than anything. because that inherent hope that Luke has, that Leia has, that Han has, even though he tries to fight it, which to me is pretty realistic, because I think we are such creatures of habit, and people who have experienced adversity, sometimes that's all they know, and sometimes it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because that's where they're comfortable and safe, even though it's not good for them. And for Han, it takes some pretty radical thinking and some brave individuals to kind of get him out of that mindset, which is great. And that idea of hope also equates to hope of family and sort of healing wounds that may or may not have been there before you were born. Because, you know, if we can't take care of our own stuff, eventually somebody else is going to have to take care of it for us, and that's not fair to them. Mm-hmm. So Luke figures it out. Anakin obviously doesn't figure it out for a very, very long time, but it's through the love of his son for him that he changes the world. And I think, you know, as a Christian myself, I just love the power behind that message very much so.
That's awesome. All right, so one of the things that happens throughout the Skywalker saga are these moments where our main characters are facing a choice to go down two different paths. Anakin, you know, ultimately fails in the prequels by choosing the dark side. Luke is then at that moment. At the end of Return of the Jedi, which you watched last night, where he could strike down his father, or he could go to the dark side, and, you know, and he chooses the light. And then, of course, in the sequels and in Rise of Skywalker, Rey chooses the light as well. This happens throughout Star Wars. So I'm curious, is there a moment in your life where you can look back and you see there were very clear two different paths that you could have gone down? It could have altered your future either way. Which did you choose and why?
I have that lightning bolt moment. I absolutely have it. I was, it was about 15 years ago, maybe a little less than that. It was 2003, actually. I remember that. And I was working in insurance. And for some people, that's wonderful. But for me, it just wasn't. I just never felt fulfilled. I never felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. But I didn't really know what that meant. So then I started through church. We had the priest said, we're starting a new thing called Life Teen to lead teens closer to Christ and to help them to be better people. And when I heard that, it just sort of, I felt like I had fireworks in my body. Mm-hmm. I legitimately did. And I thought, I don't know what this is. I've never worked with teenagers before, but I want to see what this is about. I feel really pulled to this direction, to this light. So I signed up. I interviewed, they gave me the gig. And then a week later, I was having a bad day at work. And I came home just kind of troubled, and I went to sleep early. I woke up, I jumped out of bed, I stared at the wall, and I said, I'm going to be a teacher. Wow. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what age. I didn't know what steps I had to take. I didn't know any of that stuff. But I knew that I had to be a teacher, no matter what. Because I decided to be a teacher, I met my wife.
Wow.
Because I met my wife, I met Corey, who helped me create Coffee with Kenobi. Yeah. And because of Coffee with Kenobi, a lot of incredible things have happened to me in my life. And it's because of that choice I made. I could keep doing that same thing and being complacent and sort of, you know, I was in my 30s. I could just go with the grain and and not do those changes. But if I didn't, I knew that it would be something that I would completely regret. And I wasn't going to do that. I'm very much a proponent of, I'm not interested in living with regret. I'm very much interested in taking advantage of opportunities when they happen so that I can make opportunities for myself later. And I don't think if I had become a teacher that any of that would have happened.
That's awesome. You know, I've asked that question outside of this podcast situation for two decades in different settings. And I've always ended it with this way. I already know the answer to it. But if you could go back to 2003 and wake up that morning and go the completely other direction, would you do it?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Never. It's amazing. I've never had anybody come to that moment and go say, no, I would take a different path. It's really been an amazing conversation with it. Thank you guys so much, Dan, for being a part of Tatooine Sons this week. We're super excited. Let all of our listeners know how they can connect with you, how can they can listen to the show and just everything about Coffee with Kenobi.
Well, first, thank you also very much. The atmosphere, the insight, the positive culture that you have created is just so contagious. And I thank you so much for what you've done for me and for Star Wars fandom.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow.
It's very true. It's very true. As far as for me, if you want to continue the conversation with me, you can certainly reach out to me, danz@coffeewithkenobi.com on email. You can check out and converse with me on Twitter at Mr. Zehr, M-R-Z-E-H-R. Coffee with Kenobi is a weekly Star Wars podcast, as you so kindly mentioned earlier in the show. I want to make you think. We want to make you laugh. I very much approach the show like I do in my classroom, and I teach seniors British literature, mythology, and composition, and I think the rhetoric, the discourse is the interesting part of it. You know, sort of the why is more interesting than the what, and that's kind of what we try to explore. You can also chat with me if you want to build your brand, or if you already have, or you want to start a podcast or a blog, you can go to danzmedia.com, and I can help you start that process to kind of help you take your first step into a larger world. And as far back to Coffee with Kenobi, I have a Facebook Live chat every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. We talk about, oh my goodness, all kinds of Star Wars things. This week, the topic is going to be, you know, top five lightsaber duels, and kind of break those things down and how they add to the mythology or not. And again, Coffee with Kenobi, anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dan. We certainly do appreciate it. It's been awesome having you on the show.
It is my absolute pleasure. May the Force be with you guys. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Yeah, it was so great talking with you.
Well, that was a fun interview. That was awesome. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
So the Star Wars, some Star Wars classic games are on sale with this 65%.
Yeah, they put them on StarWars.com. They're releasing a bunch of them. That's cool. Super cheap.
So, like, Old Republic. And I mean, some deals on Galaxy of Heroes, if you're into that. And I mean, we know somebody
that's pretty cool. What about you?
Yeah, so one of the most popular Mandalorian characters made a cameo on this week's episode of The Clone Wars.
Yeah, obviously it's Bo-Katan. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she did. She was, and she's a huge... Katie Sackhoff really wants to play her character in Mandalorian.
That character was introduced in Clone Wars, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, there's another Mandalorian there. And
who? Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of them that were with her. But,
yeah, but there was one... That was Sabine Wren's mother.
No!
I found that to be pretty cool. I just...
So this is, we've got to see Sabine Wren with Ahsoka in The Mandalorian.
You think? I think that's a confirmation.
It's got to happen. All right. Last one, Pablo Hidalgo says that the idea of Rey taking the Skywalker name actually predates The Force Awakens. It was a conversation that he was having with some people in the story group and some of the others long before The Force Awakens was actually released. That's good. So. Pretty cool. All right. Well, let's talk about what we want to hear from you. This week's podcast poll of the week. Who's your favorite High Republic Jedi so far? We only have four options, and we always use another comment below. So we're going to give you three, and then you can go with it from there. So we've got Avar Chris, Loden Great Storm, Vern Rowe, or other comment below. Who do you guys think would be your favorite?
Loden. Let's go with Loden. Well, like he seems smart.
It's Twi'lek.
I like him.
Yep. There's one on there. There's one that's not on there. It's this weird.
We talked about it just a second ago.
Yeah, so. Well, no, it's not. It's not on here. It's not anywhere on here. It's not. It's not a Jedi that's been mentioned yet. But I saw it during the whole panel and everything. And it's this chick that has a lightsaber fork. It has two blades. It's not like what Rey has. Huh. It might be. But, and I mean, it was white, so that's that must cool. mean that she took it from the Sith, and I always find that
to be... I'm curious to see more about Vern Rowe, the 16-year-old Jedi Knight.
Yeah. She's going to be, like, for the young reader novels.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I think she's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. All right. Well, that was awesome.
Yeah.
We are so appreciative of you guys tuning in and participating in this show. We really do hope that you will subscribe. We're trying to make it easier and easier on our website. If you see anything that says subscribe, if you click on it, it will literally take you to the podcast catcher that you're using on your phone, and you can subscribe right there. So we're trying to make it as easy on you as possible. Please do that. It really does help the show a lot. Of course, follow us on social media, Facebook, facebook.com/TatooineSons. That's a big one. We would really encourage, highly encourage right now for you to be connecting with us on Facebook.
This is where the fun begins.
It's sort of a big deal. Anyway, and then Twitter, at Tatooine Sons, Instagram at Tatooine Sons. If you search Tatooine Sons on YouTube, you're going to find us there as well. We'd love that. And then the last thing, and it's definitely not the least, please give us your reviews. If you've listened all the way through this 45 minutes and gotten all the way to the end of this, just take another 2 minutes to give us a rating. That's that 5-star, 1-to-5 thing. Click on that and then give us 2 or 3 sentences about why you like this show, why you listen to it. It would mean the world to us. I think that's pretty it. And if you want to just check out anything going on, show notes on this have gotten super detailed in the last couple of episodes. We're trying to get those up and running. Just go to our website, TatooineSons.com. That's it. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you, always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
So who's the pro for your lawn? If you're like me, look no further than yourself. I made my beautiful lawn from great seed, a lot of pride, and even less water than you think. And did it all with Pennington Smart Seed. You see, Smart Seed is a premium seed bred to be drought resistant, so you'll use 30% less water for the entire life of your lawn. So to those who'd say the grass is greener on the other side, I politely disagree. Just look at my lawn. Pennington Smart Seed. Guaranteed to grow. Reclaim your turf.